Well, please turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 5. The Gospel according to Luke chapter 5. And verse 4. Luke chapter 5, verse 4. Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught, for a catch. And our subject this morning is launching out into the deep. Well, we come to this passage in the Gospel according to Luke. And this passage, well, it presents to us two things in particular. Here we see the Lord Jesus Christ beginning to call his disciples to himself. You may well know, I'm sure many of you do very well, that the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was on this earth around 2,000 years ago, he lived in Galilee of Judea, the Middle East, and he ministered for 3 years. He preached of repentance and faith about the kingdom of God and how we must enter into the kingdom of God while there is yet time. For 3 years, that was his preaching ministry from the age of 30 to 33. And well, it was accompanied by great miracles. It was accompanied by great signs to show that the Lord Jesus Christ, as we have just prayed, as we have just remembered in prayer, he was not simply a man, he was the Son of God, the Savior, the Messiah, the one who had been promised in the Old Testament, God with us. And during that time, of course, his earthly ministry, he had 12 disciples. And this account offers details of how he calls the first disciples to himself. And well, we read in the first verse that the Lord Jesus Christ is preaching and attracting many people, insomuch that they pressed upon him to hear the word of God. Great multitudes are gathering to him. And he's by a lake, the Lake of Gennesaret, otherwise known as the Sea of Galilee or the Sea of Tiberias, elsewhere in the Gospels. But the Lord, well, he sees two ships, we see in verse 2, or two boats standing by the lake. And what he does is he goes into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and he prays him, he asks him to thrust out a little from the land. We read that in verse 3. He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he, the Lord, sat down and taught the people out of the ship. So this is quite an unusual scene. The Lord Jesus Christ, he's on a ship, he's on a boat, he's thrust out a little from the sea, everybody else is on the land, and he's preaching them, preaching to them out of the boat. But after the sermon, after he has left speaking, verse 4, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Simon, of course, is a fisherman. And, well, the Lord Jesus Christ gives him instructions. Go out into the deep, catch fish for yourself. But then in verse 5, Simon answers the Lord and says unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Simon and other fishermen, they have been out, they have been toiling throughout the night. They have caught absolutely nothing at all. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ, who is not a fisherman, who at this point is a stranger to Simon, he says, go out, launch out into the deep. And well, it's amazing, but Simon Peter does this. He obeys. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And then look what happens in verse 6. When they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. or was on the verge of breaking. That's what the Greek suggests, not that the net actually broke, because then all the fish would have been lost. But the nets were so full, they were on the verge of breaking. And they had to beckon unto other people, verse 7, in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. Well, this is a tremendous miracle. The Lord has spoken. Simon Peter has obeyed. And there is tremendous blessing. Well, now we could take this passage and apply it to, the disciples would be fishers of men. That's really what this passage is about. These fishermen will be disciples, and through their preaching and their teaching, they would catch men. They would turn people to God. Those who were lost, those who were without God in the world, well, the disciples would catch them and bring them to the Lord. That's what gospel preaching is all about. In effect, that's what I do every morning, every single Lord's Day morning, rather. What I do when we are gathered here, it is as though I am throwing out a net and I am drawing you closer to the Lord. We are fishers of men, the disciples, the ministers of the Lord. So this is really what the passage is about, but we can also apply it evangelistically. There are so many gospel applications here, and that is what I want to spend our time doing this morning. So many things to help us and to urge us, exhort us to seek and find the Lord for ourselves. Well, first of all, let's just look at those words in verse 4. Now, when he had left speaking after the Lord's sermon, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Launch out into the deep. Well, I'm no fisherman, but I do know that if you want to catch an abundance of fish or good fish, you cannot stay in shallow waters. You have to venture out into the deep. In order to have any hope of a good catch, this is what you must do. Not the shallow water, but the deep water. And well, that's a good gospel application right there. If we are to seek and find the Lord, we must not be shallow people. We must have depth. We must launch out into the deep. Now, we mention this office, but do you understand this fully? We do not live in a society that encourages deep thinking. People do not want to think deeply about anything nowadays. When I was first seeking the Lord, and again, I say this quite a lot, but when I was first seeking the Lord, I was asking people what they thought about life, about the meaning of life, about God, what God is like. And people don't like to speak about those things. That's way too deep for people. They want to stay in the shallow waters. They would often say to me, you know, the problem with you is that you think too much. You think too much. See, this is the kind of society that we live in nowadays. Thinking too much is actually a problem. That's the problem with you. You think too much. We're not encouraged to think deeply about anything anymore. We live in a society that dumbs everything down. Just think about entertainment. Think about celebrity gossip, sports, and so on. It used to be the case that on the TV, you would occasionally watch programs that would actually challenge you as a person, challenge your thinking. Now everything is watered down, dumbed down, as though we're all still children. Everything is so shallow. There is no depth to our society anymore. But the Lord Jesus Christ, well, he calls us, launch out into the deep. God has given you a mind. He's given you an amazing mind. The brain, the human brain, Well, when we apply our brains and our thinking, we can do amazing things. And yet we live in a society that limits us, wants to narrow our thinking. Don't think beyond certain limits. Launch out into the deep, says the Lord Jesus Christ. God has given you a mind to think. You must employ it. Of course, this is why so few people are interested in coming to church. Because the word of God will actually make them think. It will actually make them think about deep things. They don't want to do that. They'll come to church, they'll be deeply uncomfortable. I have to think. This preacher is making me think about who I am and about what the world is like. I don't normally think about this. I'm getting very uncomfortable about who God is. Well, you think about God, you know, you cannot exhaust the subject of God. There are some subjects in this world, many subjects. You can know everything that there is to know about that subject, about sport, about football, about geography or something like that along those lines. You can exhaust those subjects, but God, you cannot exhaust that subject. God is infinite. God is almighty. So many scholars, so many intellectuals have sought to understand the word of God. They cannot fully grasp it. God is infinite. He's beyond our minds. Launch out into the deep, says the Lord Jesus Christ. Why are you only concerning yourself with shallow things? And by the way, this is why people, well, they get so down and they get so depressed. This is why life is so empty nowadays. Life is so humdrum because everything is so shallow. There's so little to sustain us, to sustain our thinking, to really think about. There's nothing in this life. Everything is watered down. And so that's why people get so depressed. They don't see any meaning in life. They don't see any big picture, any greater picture. They are stuck in the shallow waters. But well, the Lord, he wants something great for us, something better for us. Launch out into the deep. This is the great exhortation and the first gospel application. Dear friends, we must. I understand, of course, that launching out into the deep, thinking deeply, is scary for some people. It's not necessarily that they don't want to think deeply about certain things. They're scared about what they might find. If I can illustrate this, I know some people, when they go to the seaside, they are happy to stay in the shallow waters, but they don't want to go out too deep. They don't want to swim out too far because they're afraid. They're afraid of what's out there. Maybe there's large fish wants to swallow me up, some scary sea monster or something else. The waves will carry me away. They're scared. I'll just stay in the shallow part. I'm not going to go out any deeper. But dear friends, you ought not to be afraid of God. There's nothing to be scared of. God will not harm you. God will not injure you. You don't have to stay in the shallow. You can go out into the deep. God will meet you there. God will bless you. If you seek him, you will find him, and there is nothing to fear. There is only actually everything to gain. And this is what these verses teach us. So, dear friends, don't be a shallow person. Launch out into the deep. And there is reward, as we see. Well, the Lord says, let down your nets for a draught at the end of verse 4. But then let's look at Simon's answer in verse 5. Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Well, as we mentioned earlier, they'd already been out. We've already tried, Lord, for hours to try and catch fish, and it hasn't worked out. It didn't profit us. But nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Well, this is full of gospel application. You know, sometimes people think to themselves, just as Peter did here, there's no point in doing what God asks me to do. There's no point in following God, in seeking after God. In fact, some people say this is quite common. I've already tried it. Just like Peter said, we've already been out, we've toiled all the night. Some people will come and say to you, oh, I've already tried Christianity. You talk to me about seeking God. I've already tried Christianity. I used to go to church. I used to read the Word of God, sing the hymns and all that stuff. It really didn't work for me. I know people who've even been baptized, and it didn't work for them. They say, I've been there. I've done that. It didn't work. Why are you asking me to go out again? Well, what is the answer to that? Well, let me try and explain to you. Many people, sadly nowadays, you know, they say they are Christian, but they are not. That's the problem. People say they are Christian, but they are not. They actually have no interest in God. No interest in knowing who God is, no interest in the Word of God, no interest in entering into a relationship with God. That's what Christianity is. It's a relationship with God. But some people, they don't have any interest in that. They just want to, maybe they want to look religious. They just want to look like good people. See, I go to church. Or maybe they just want God to do things for them. They don't want to serve God. They want God to serve them. God, help me pass my exams. God, give me a better job. God, give me a promotion. Dear friends, there are so many people like that. They're not interested in God at all. It's all about them. And that's why people fail and fall, because they never wanted to know God for themselves. They never wanted to obey God. This is what Peter does here, Simon Peter. He obeys God. Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. He obeys the word of God. A true Christian will obey the word of God. Do you obey, dear friends? Have you obeyed the word of God, the call of God, to repent and to have faith? So many people say they're Christians, but they've never repented. They've never turned away from their old lives. They've never said to themselves, I'm going to stop living for myself. I'm going to live for God. No more what I want to do. It's what God wants me to do. No more what I will, it's God's will. Let's let God's will be done. Are you like that? Have you actually obeyed God in that sense? Do you know true repentance? You know, if you don't have repentance, it's very unlikely that you actually have faith. You know, faith and repentance, they go together. They're two sides of the same coin. If you haven't repented, you don't really live for God. You come to church, yes, but the rest of the week, you're not going to obey God. You're not going to serve God. If you don't know true repentance, well, I'm afraid to say it, but it doesn't look as though you actually have any faith at all. Repentance and faith go together. Can you see how for some people it doesn't work? We've tried Christianity, it didn't work. It's because you never had faith in the first place. It's because you never repented. We must obey. This is what Simon Peter did. He obeyed the word of God. And when you obey, then there will come the glorious reward. Let's look at the fruit of his obedience. At thy word, Simon says, I will let down the net. I will obey. And look what happened, verse 6, when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. Oh, dear friends, this is tremendous. The application is so simple. If you obey God, there is great abundance. I barely need to speak about this. I've said this so many times. In my experience as a Christian, I have observed that those who are most blessed are the ones who obey God the most. The ones who obey God, not the ones who are full of excuses. Oh, I can't really do this for the Lord. Oh, I can't really do that for the Lord. They always have very difficult things in their lives that they have to deal with. I've noticed that. But those who obey God, they have such an abundance of peace, an abundance of joy in their lives. Even when difficult things come, they're able to get over them because they obey God. That is the key. What's the key to happiness, Pastor? Tell me, why am I struggling with all these problems? Is it because you're not obeying God that you're struggling? Obedience to God. And then you will have these glorious rewards. And well, we learn from these passages also that God loves to give. God loves to give. The world, those of you who are in the world will only take from you. Yes, you may well have a lot in your life now, a lot of youth. Perhaps you're young. You have an abundance of youth. You have an abundance of energy. You have a keen mind, a sharp mind. You've got your whole life ahead of you. But you know what? The world is going to take all that away from you. The older you get, your strength will go. Your energy will go. Your joy will start to go. When you see more of the world, your joy will start to disappear. How sinful the world is, how selfish the world is, your joy will disappear. And you know, when people come to the end of their lives, I hear this so often, they say to themselves, you know, I worked so hard in this life. I toiled all my life. And what have I got to look forward to now? Old age? Death? They say those words like Peter says here. We've toiled all the night. That's what the world is like. You work so hard all your life, and at the end, there's absolutely nothing for you. That's the nature of the world. That's the nature of life without God. And the worst thing is, you have nothing to enter into eternity with. We will have to meet God one day. When we die, we stand before God. You'll have nothing to show him. Doesn't matter how hard you worked in this life. What are you going to show to God? Your career? Your money? Your possessions? That's no good at all. We brought nothing into this world. It is certain we can carry nothing out. You can work very hard in this life, but dear friends, what have you got to show to God at the very end? You must have Christ. He is the only thing you can carry into eternity, the only thing of value, the only thing you can show God. I have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have him, dear friends? God has given us the Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest gift. We must claim him. But let me just say a few words as we almost close about how we claim the Lord Jesus Christ for him, for ourselves. Because again, some people are very vague. What must I do to be saved? Well, look at Simon Peter. Well, let's look at verse 7. They beckoned unto their partners which were in the other ship that they should come and help them, and they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. The number of fishes that were gathered in was so much that the ships could not take the weight, the boats. But look at Simon Peter, verse 8. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." That is the way you claim the Lord Jesus Christ for yourself. Do you see that? "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." That's how you claim. Well, now you may be thinking, well, this is a funny thing, Pastor. You want me to come to the Lord Jesus Christ? It seems as though Simon Peter is saying, depart from me. He doesn't want the Lord at all. So how does that make sense? What is it, come Lord or depart from me? Well, dear friends, this is the point. What Peter is saying here, he's saying, Lord, I am not worthy. I am not worthy to have anything to do with you. I am a carnal man. I am a sinful man. I'm not a spiritual person. I'm not a godly person, a religious person. I'm a sinful man. I fall down at your feet. I'm not worthy to be called a servant of God. But you know, that is precisely the person that God will accept. That's precisely the person that God will accept. Not the person who thinks he's good and wonderful. Oh, God, choose me. I'm very religious. I'm very spiritual. That's the one whom God rejects. The one who comes like Simon Peter. I am unworthy. I am a vile sinner. That's the one whom God will accept and gather into the kingdom. All of the godly men of the Bible said this. Abraham, he said, I am dust and ashes in the sight of God. That's all I am. Dust and ashes. Not a good man. Isaiah, what did he say? When he saw the Lord, he said, woe is me. Woe is me, for I am undone. For I am a man of unclean lips. I'm unclean. And yet, these were the men that God chose to use and to mightily bless. Dear friends, this is how we come to the Lord. I am a sinful man. It's only when you admit that you are nothing that God gives you everything. He gives you his love, his mercy, his grace, his forgiveness, eternal life. You have Christ. You have everything you could ever need. These are the lessons of this passage. Just very simply, so wonderfully set before us. But dear friends, I close with this. I just repeat this exhortation. You must seek the Lord. Launch out into the deep. Don't be that shallow person. Go out and find the Lord. I remember that's what I did. It was the most important thing in my life. I have to find out whether God is real. I have to find out whether God is real, whether God is there. And when I did, when I sought him out, when I launched out into the deep, he was there. He is true. He is real. He will bless you. Go to him. Seek him for yourself. Don't say it's not worth it. Look at the rewards. Look at what Simon received. Such an abundance that their nets nearly break. That will be the case for you. You come to the Lord. There's no regrets. Such an abundance. That is our prayer for each and every one of you, that you may know the fullness of God's grace. And at the very end, eternal life. Well, let's turn in our hymn books to our final hymn this morning, hymn number 398. Hymn number 398. A great plea to God. O teach me what it meaneth, that cross uplifted high, with one the man of sorrows, condemned to bleed and die. O teach me what it cost thee to make a sinner whole, and teach me, Saviour, teach me the value of a soul. O teach me what it meaneth, for I am full of sin, and grace alone can reach me, and love alone can win. O teach me, for I need thee. I have no hope beside, the chief of all the sinners for whom the Saviour died. O infinite Redeemer, I bring no other plea. Because thou dost invite me, I cast myself on thee. Because thou dost accept me, I love and I adore. Because thy love constraineth, I'll praise thee evermore. Let's pray together. O dear Lord, our gracious God, come, Lord, and bless us each one. Help us to seek thee and to find thee. Lord, it may be a frightening prospect, but teach us that there is nothing to fear. Lord, wean us away from the things, the shallow things of this world, that we may know the Almighty, the infinite God, and the depth of his love for us. O Lord, forgive us afresh all our sins. Work in hearts, we pray, and gather the lost to thyself. We ask it all in our Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen.